The following audio is from Sand Hills Community Church. More information about Sand Hills Community Church is available at www.sandhillschurch.org.
All right. Well, happy Mother's Day. And so you know, my wife and I were talking this last week. So Mother's Day is a weird time because my wife and I were talking, not everybody had a good mother, or some of us, like myself, I've lost my mother. My mother's with Jesus. And so like we're all processing different stuff. So let me just say, as one who loves my mommy, can't wait to see her again, although I'm sure she's already redecorating part of heaven, like Jesus didn't get it right. But other than that, if your mom is with you today, would you just lean over, give her a big hug and just say, Mama, I love you. You're the best. Because I wish I could do that. So that's great. That's great. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Well, we praise God for the gift that he has given to us. And so you ladies are special. We'll talk more about y'all before the day is out. But this is one thing we are going to do is we're going to dig back into the topic that we've been studying lately. And the topic we've been studying lately is the idea of margin, the idea of margin. Actually, moms know about this because I'm not sure you have much. So I have to explain it because not everybody grew up in a day when you actually had ruled paper, but I did. So at least we're still within that generation. My kids, if they ever go into ministry, they're going to have to think of another illustration. It's like when you had an iPad, you know. So for me, though, I had this ruled paper, and the ruled paper had this red line down the side, and that red line, that side part, that was the margin. You don't write in the margin. You take all your notes over here. You write all your stuff over here, but every now and then, if you knew you had to squeeze something in that you'd forgotten, you could go back, and you could make a note in the margin because you'd left space for that. And what we were saying was that we need that in our lives. That is, your life should be to the point where you haven't written all over the page of your life, so there's no room to add anything. And you get to the point where, like, I don't have any more space left. The idea is that if you manage your life well, it should be that if somebody suddenly gives you an idea like, hey, you should go do this, that, oh, you know, I've got some space in my life that I can do that thing. And so what we want to talk to you about is how we manage over the series that we're doing, our time, our money, our parenting, and our rest. And so those are the ideas that we would like to cover all of those. And today, what I want to talk about is, in particular, I'm going to talk about the money piece today. So we're going to go back to our suitcase illustration. In fact, I think we'll just keep this. This has turned out to be fun. Okay, so the suitcase today represents your income, all right? So this is your income. Now, everybody has an income of some sort. Some have a big suitcase, some have a little suitcase. But either way, you have an income, wherever it is. And then all of us have some expenses. And so what you put into your suitcase are your expenses. And when the two are together, they make a budget. And this is what your budget should look like. This is like, look at this. I've even got a little room in here. I put this back. It's like, this is how it should work right here. So while we all have a limit to our income, we all also have potentially limitless expenses. So that if we're not careful, when we pack our suitcase, it looks like this. And we say, that's my budget. So this is my budget. And so if somebody comes to you and they say, well, what's this part right here? You're like, oh, well, I'm working on that. I'm gonna take care of that. And so here's the problem. The problem is this, is that if I come to you or somebody comes to you and challenges you and says, listen, I want us to be investing generously in the things of the Lord. And you would say, well, I can't right now. I don't have that margin. But one day when this is gone, now listen, come on now, let's just be real with each other. This never goes away, right? We struggle with this. And so what we need is we need a big old pair of scissors, or we've just got to come back and we've got to rework this thing to make it manageable. And so what we do then is we'll take this and we'll say, well, this is my food and my clothing and my shelter, and those are my actual needs, and I can't fit in there all the stuff I want. I mean, there's no end to the things I want. But if I do pack nicely, then I know that I've still got some room for socks, right? So I can come back and say, listen, you know, I can't buy the car I want to buy, but I can buy this car. I can put that in there. And I can't go on the vacation I want to go on. I mean, the vacation I want to go, I'm like, I want to go on a cruise. I want to go to Europe, but actually I can afford Winsboro. So I'm going to rent a little place up in Winsboro. The honey and I will take a night over there and it'll be great. And we'll celebrate. So the idea is that we've got to come back and we've got to readdress how we think about this so we don't end up out of whack. And here's what I would say. Pastor Malcolm and I were talking about this a few weeks ago. We were talking about the idea that, like, when it comes to how we walk with Jesus, like, when we come and we're studying the Word of God and it's good and we're learning all these deep spiritual truths, I hope we all understand spiritual truths always have a practical application. And that even affects how we handle our resources. Because here's the thing, God had a lot to say about how we handle our resources. Jesus talked a lot about how we handle our resources. Now, here's the question. Is it because Jesus was concerned about our money? The answer is no. He was concerned about something far deeper. He was concerned about our heart. And it's like Jesus was saying this to us. When I see how you handle your stuff, I can see your affection for me, right? So I hope that becomes clear as we go through this. I do want to unpack some of this. Now, the big myth, same as last week, big myth. Because some people would say this. Okay, listen, I realize I'm living like this. But if I just had a bigger suitcase, right? If I just had a bigger suitcase, then it would all fit. No, it wouldn't. Because if you had a bigger suitcase, you'd have a bigger pillow, right? I'll give you a great example. Several years ago, I was talking to my dad. Now, my dad at the time was probably making like 8 times my annual salary. 8 times, right? So my dad's an investment broker and had been for decades. So he made some money. And we were talking one day. And as I talked to my dad, you know what I realized? He was as broke as I was. And I was laughing about it with him. He said, oh, no, I'm just broke at a higher level, right? So that's how this all it plays out. And so, like, let me give you two people, difference two people. One guy says, I'm going to buy a car. I really can't afford it, but I'm going to stretch, and I think I can make the payments work. But he's buying a Ford. Over here, the guy's like, I'm stretching. If I stretch, I think I can make the payments work, but he's buying a Mercedes. But it's the same guy, really. I mean, he's biting off a little more than he could chew. He's biting off a little more than he could chew. But if I work things just right, I can make it work. I'll maybe just have a little bit of this, and it's going to be okay. But the problem is it didn't stop with just the car, right? It's not the car. Then it goes to the house or maybe the house, right? And then that vacation I know I shouldn't take or then that credit card. And then this thing just keeps getting longer and longer and longer and out of control. And before long, the budget runs us and we don't run the budget. And so this comes back to the idea of discipline. And I would say this. In our congregation, there are very few of us. There may be some. But there are very few of us to whom the Lord has not given enough for us to really get by. But there are many people in here that are living paycheck to paycheck. Right, and I think probably it just reflects a lack of discipline. So we'll just have a moment of accountability. No, nobody has to confess out loud. We'll just acknowledge it. This tends to be an area where many of us struggle. The Philpotts have struggled with this, and I'm going to be honest with that before the end of the service. I don't think my wife's at this service, so I can still be honest. I've only had 2 services where I can be honest, and then the other one I fudge a bit. So I'm totally kidding. Please don't tell third service people that. They'll never forgive me. All right, so what we really need is we need a Christian budget, a Christian budget. Now, what is a Christian budget? I would say this. A Christian budget is like a normal budget where we have more income than expenses. Go back. Let me just pick up on that. It's like a normal budget where we have more income than expenses. That should be a normal budget. But it's marked by 3 different characteristics. And the Christian budget is marked by worship, stewardship, and investment. Worship, stewardship, and investment. Here's what I mean by those. Worship. First of all, it means that when I receive money, I may have worked for this paycheck. I may have been given this because of something I did, or I may have sold something and gotten the money, but I know who the money really came from. You know, and this is the way I phrase it. I even phrase it this way when I'm talking to the Lord about it. He may think it's weird, but he knows me already way too well. So here's the deal. I know who butters my bread. That's the way I phrase it. Lord, I know who butters my bread. This comes from you. It looks like it came from somebody else. This came from you. I thank you for that. So we're going to worship the Lord because we know he's the ultimate giver. Next is stewardship. Stewardship, realizing that when I have stuff in my life, all my stuff, and this includes the whole gambit. This is my time, talent, treasure, truth, all this kind of stuff, my relationships, all this stuff, I'm a steward of it. God has entrusted it to me, and I'm accountable for all of it, and I want to handle it in a way that honors Jesus, because all these things need to honor Jesus. So that's stewardship. And then finally, investment. And when I say investment, I don't mean just like investing in the stock market or something like that. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm talking about is I'm talking about kingdom investment. That I'm investing in the things of God so that I see a heavenly and eternal return. That's really what I want to see. So because each of these is kind of complex, let's just break them down a little bit. So let's start with the first one, the idea of worship. So how do I worship? How do I honor the one that butters my bread? How do I honor the provider? So one of the earliest offerings we see in Scripture comes from Cain and Abel. Right? This is actually Genesis chapter 4. It comes right after the fall of mankind. The next thing we see, we're introduced to 2 kids, Cain and Abel. One's good, one's bad. Who's the good kid out of Cain and Abel? Okay, Abel, somebody said it. Whoever said it, good for you, extra credit. Abel's the good one. Cain was the bad one, right? Things go south in a hurry for those guys. But you know where it started? In their offerings before the Lord. Now, again, it's not because of the offerings, it's because of the heart. The offerings just reflected the heart. Here's the difference between the two. Okay, so Cain had a particular occupation. Anybody know what Cain did? Now we're just in Bible trivia at this point. What did Cain do as an occupation? He was a farmer, right? But in particular, produce. He handled produce. He raised vegetables and fruits and stuff like that. Abel had a different job. You know what Abel did? All right, so yeah, shepherd. He took care of sheep, right? So that's what he did. Arguably, you could say they're both farmers, and you get it on a technicality. But the idea is that Cain handled produce, Abel handled sheep. So it came time that they both wanted to give an offering to the Lord. So it says that Cain took some of his produce and gave it to the Lord. But when it came to Abel, Abel took fat portions from the firstborn of his flocks and gave that to the Lord. And it says that the Lord had regard for Abel's offering. Not for Cain's, just for Abel's. And this sent Cain into a fit. And he was frustrated and angry. And this is when God first starts to tell him, Cain, you got to be careful. Because you and I both know what's going on in your heart. And if you're not careful, that sin will consume you. So the idea is this, that when it came to giving an offering to the Lord, Cain's like, yeah, here you go. I got some. Here, Lord, this is an offering to you. Whereas Abel, he thought through it. Now think about it. If you're a shepherd, and I give you a couple of sheep, and I say, this is going to be your livelihood, when those first sheep are born, that's the future, right? And now you might be thinking, if you're kind of like me probably, you're like, well, I don't want to give those to the Lord. Like that, he would want me to use those to make more sheep. Maybe when I get about 10 sheep, then I'll give a couple of those to the Lord. That's not what Abel did. Abel pulled back. He's like, yeah, you know what? These are my first couple. These go to him because he gave these to me. And if I honor him with these, I already know he's going to give me more later, but I want to make sure the first thing comes out, most important, I'm giving that to the Lord because he knew who buttered his bread, right? And so when the Lord looked at that, he said, Abel, that is a real offering to me. Thank you so much. I have regard for your offering. But Cain's like, oh, yeah, here, Lord, I had this with me. So the difference is the heart. And that's what God is looking for. So when we give, we want to make sure that we worship with our giving, not just out of our leftovers. That's part of the struggle with Cain and Abel. We want to get to the point where we have Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. See, this is actually a concept that Abel understood. If you honor the Lord with your first fruits, you're not going to have to worry about what's coming in the future. God's going to take care of you. Now, I will argue this, and before we get done, this will make a lot of sense. You still have to live on a budget, right? You still have to think through what you're doing, and I would argue that Abel did that. But even in the midst of doing that, he gives to the Lord. And so when we give to the Lord, prioritizing the Lord, particularly when we give, shows that we recognize he's the Lord of the harvest. I would have no harvest if it wasn't for the Lord. So I give first to him because I realize he gives it to me. It also shows my thankfulness. Like, Lord, I am totally grateful for all the stuff you give me, that I drove to church this morning in a fairly reliable car. You know, like, God, you're so good. Thank you for that. It's great of you to give that to me. And then also, I would say this, giving to the Lord as a priority is an antidote to materialism. Okay, can I just say that's something I think we probably all struggle with? Because here's what happens. The desire for money, that's what really gets us, right? That desire for money kind of works its way into our heart. And if we're not careful, we justify it. Well, I got to provide for my family. That's important, right? And you know, a special time is coming up. We want to celebrate, right? We got to make time for us, right? This is going to be worth it. I got to spend money on this. I may have to spend a little more. You know, I got to have a good car. It's got to be reliable. You know, whatever. We start making these justifications, but then if we're not careful, what we're really doing is we're justifying maybe greed, right? We're really giving in to a worship of stuff rather than worship of the Lord. That's where we have to be careful, and that's why Jesus was so concerned about it, because if we're not careful, it really worms its way into our heart. So we want to make sure that in our Christian budget, we're really worshiping the Lord. That will help us in other areas. But then we get quickly to stewardship. Stewardship is managing God's resources. So in Matthew chapter 25, if you went there, you would find that there's this parable of what's called talents. Talents is a sum of money. And you find that this man is going on a journey, and he calls his servants to him, and he gives them different amounts of these talents, of this money. So he gives one 5, and he gives one 2, and he gives one 1. And these are big amounts of money. They're not just, you know, $5, $2, and a dollar. So he gives them these large amounts of money, and the one that gets 5 goes out, puts it to work, and gets another 5. The one that gets 2 goes out, puts it to work, gets another 2. The one who gets 1 doesn't do anything with it because he's lazy. And he has no regard for his master. And so he just kind of puts it away, goes and lives his life like however he wants. And when the master comes back for an accounting, and the one with 5 comes and he gives him 5, and the one with 2 comes and gives him another 2, he honors them. He's like, I have regard for your offerings. But the one who had the 1, he chastises him, saying, like, you wasted what I entrusted to you. And so when we look at life, one of the things I hope we remember is that I am a steward. I am a steward of what God has entrusted to me, and I am accountable for it, and one day I have to stand before him and face him. I had a guy tell me one time, this is so funny. I had a guy one time, he heard that we were doing a fundraising campaign. Now, this is a guy who doesn't go to church here, but I know him really well, and he's familiar with Sand Hills. And so I was talking to him, he heard we were doing a fuel initiative to raise some money to do some things. And he said, well, Pastor Jeff, I have some advice for you. I was like, okay, what's that? He said, you should have only the rich people at your church give to that. All right, well, first of all, I don't know how to identify those people. If anybody's here rich, can you just put your hand in the air so that I can see it? Because I love it. All right, so the truth is, honestly, probably on a global scale, we're all rich. But here's another thing, that's not where it works. And this is what I told the guy. And he wouldn't call himself a Christian. And so this is what I told him. I said, listen, here's the problem. You're trying to solve a money problem, and that's not what God is after. God's after the heart. So we invite everyone to give because they're not giving to me, and they're not giving to Sand Hills. They're giving to the Lord. And when it comes to giving to the Lord, I want everyone to give and to give generously to the Lord. Because when we do that, it shows worship, it shows stewardship, and it shows an investment in the things of God. That's what we call that too. So in Luke 21, there's this interesting situation. Jesus is hanging with his disciples. They're downtown Jerusalem. They're sitting in front of the temple. And there's this big offering place out there where people go literally just dump offerings right there in front of the temple. And as they're watching, these people are coming by. They're just chunking this stuff in there as these offerings. And this widow comes by, this older woman comes in, and she just takes two small coins, and she puts them in the offering, and she walks on. And Jesus says, hey guys, did you see that? I want you to notice something. That woman, the others are giving out their excess. That woman put in all that she had to live on. So there's an interesting, now first of all, if I'm watching that, I would turn to Jesus and go, yeah, but Jesus, that is so unwise. Why would she has to live. You want me to rebuke her? That's what I would do, and then Jesus would chastise me. So I would say this, even though maybe Jeff Philpott would say, that seems unwise to put all your money in there. But here's what I may doubt her money management, I would never doubt her heart. I totally see her heart. She loves God so much, trusts him so much, she's putting it all in there. Right? So again, that is not counsel from Jeff to therefore go and do likewise. But here is counsel from Jeff, and to do this, I'm going to tell you my story. And again, since my wife isn't here, I can be straight up honest with you guys. All right, so here's the deal. So years ago, the Philpotts are a young couple. We're starting a church, right? And there's nobody going to this church at that point. I mean, there's like six people in my living room. That's straight up, that's how this church was going. Offerings, you almost didn't want to count them some Sundays. You know, it was six of us, and we were all dirt poor. So Philpotts didn't have any money. The people that went to the church didn't have any money. The few in my living room. And we were doing the best we could to get by. In fact, I took on a second job working landscaping just to make a little bit extra money. And one of the principles that Michelle and I had decided when we first got married was that we were going to prioritize the Lord in the way we handled our resources. And so we determined that the first 10% at least of everything that came in was going to go to the Lord. The first 10% right off the top, give that to the Lord. It's going to honor him with the first fruits. Everything else we're going to live on. Until expenses begin to outpace our budget a little bit, right? And so we got, oh man, like, I don't know. So here's, and this is true. Like, it got to a point where we couldn't afford to pay the Lord, right? And so I would just write it down. Like, you know, like, Lord, I owe you. You know, because I figure he's not going to show up to collect, right? So like, not anytime soon, and hopefully I'll live long enough to pay it off. So I started making notes. Owe the Lord $100, $200. I don't even remember what it was. But I will tell you this, whatever it was more than we could afford. And the problem was it began to happen monthly. Like, where we actually almost stopped giving to the Lord for months. And it got to a point where we had this big ledger that we owed the Lord. And I don't know how much it was. It was you know, probably over $1,000 or something like that. And $1,000 to people that are dead broke. I mean, you guys know. I don't know how I'll ever pay that back. Like, that's ridiculous money. And so one day, Michelle and I were talking about this, and we felt so convicted about it. And we said, this is ridiculous. Now we're not even honoring the Lord in anything. So here's what we got to do. Let's stop. Well, hopefully in some things. So we decided to stop, and then we prayed it at my kitchen table. And if I remember correctly, it was my wife and myself, and then little baby Callie. And we were praying about this, and we just said, Lord, okay, we repent, first of all. We have not been honoring you with our resources, and we're going to turn things around. And from now on, first check again goes back to you. Now, oddly enough, I will tell you this, that when we began to do that, and we couldn't do it all in one check. We had to turn things around and work ourselves out of it over a course of months. But we turned it all around, started prioritizing the Lord again, and somehow all of our bills still got paid. Like, it's just one of those things where I was looking at that, and like, I'm not even sure how that always worked. But I will tell you, something else happened during that time. We were politely rebuked by a woman in our congregation, right? So a woman in our congregation came to us at one point. She said, can I say something? She was close enough to us and our family to know where we were, and she could speak to us truth. And she said, can I say something? I think you guys probably need to live on a budget. Do you live on a budget? We said, well, we don't really have a budget. And I told her, we don't need a budget because we don't make much money. What do you think about the wisdom? It's like, now you're suddenly doubting whether you should go to this church, right? You're like, that's how he processes, huh? So I said that to her, and then she said, okay, here's the problem. I happen to notice that you guys really struggle. Now, she was right, because here's what would happen. When I would want to know how much money we had, I would look in our bank account. And then I'd be like, well, that's how much money we have in the bank account. Okay, so if we want to do something, we want to buy something, we want to go, it's right there. Just look at that, and that'll tell us whether we can do it or not. No, the problem was, I kept having these surprise bills show up. You ever get a surprise from your car insurance bill? You know, like, it shows up every 6 months, and you're like, oh, dang! You know, like, I totally forgot that was coming, you know? It comes every 6 months and has for years. Like, how do you keep forgetting? Like, I don't know how I forget these things. And then we'd have some of these annual things that would pop up, an annual bill that I had, and I'm like, oh, I forgot this annual bill. How are we going to do this? And literally, we would call and ask Mom and Dad, hey, can y'all help us out? And Mom and Dad always would. They were always kind. They probably should have rebuked me a little bit, but they were generous. And so they helped us out of that. But fortunately, this woman in our church said, listen, my opinion is, and she said it very nicely, you are mishandling your money. And you need to get back on top of this. And so right around that time, we're wrestling with this, and owing the Lord, it just kind of all came together. And we got a real budget, not of this budget, right? But we got on a real budget where we went back to what we could afford, and we knew we could afford, and then we put it in there. And it literally made a huge difference in our life. But the problem was we really needed discipline. And once we had the budget, we had to learn discipline. And discipline means this. You've got to learn to say no to a lot of stuff and goodbye to others, right? No and goodbye, and you've really got to be aware of too many socks, right? It's so easy to get that one more thing, and you have to get to a point where it no longer consumes you. We want to be to a point where we could live by this other proverb, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and he only suffers want. All right, so this was the Philpots, by the way. This was the Philpots, that when we were holding back what we owed the Lord, what we should have been giving to the Lord out of what we determined we were going to give in our hearts, we stopped paying him, and it was every month worse and worse and worse. And when we turned things around and we began to prioritize the Lord giving freely, we found that it grew all the richer. I'm going to put rich in quotes, but we had more money is what it really turns out to be. Would anybody else here testify that the Lord has a really weird economy? Anybody else want to testify that? That is, like, I've found out that when I give, suddenly things turn out okay for me. Okay, now you have to be careful. There's a big asterisk on this one, right? So when I give, the Lord takes care of me. We got on a budget, all right? So it also demonstrated good stewardship. So it's not just that I'm really struggling right now, so I'll give a big check to the Lord's stuff and I'll just see what he'll do, right? Okay, now see, that's the prosperity kind of gospel. Now I wish it worked that, you know, this idea that you can't outgive God, right? I've heard people say that, and there's a part of that that's true. It's another asterisk statement. You can't outgive God. That's true, but it doesn't mean that, like, if you write to the Lord's work $1,000, he'll give you $10,000. I mean, I wish it worked. Don't we all wish it worked that way? I mean, what an incredible, like, yeah, no wonder some of these guys are flying in jet planes. But no, the reality is, if you write the Lord $1,000, he takes it. Then you're like, oh, okay. So you say, this is just back to budgeting. You just got to figure out how to do this and budget correctly. So, as we do that, then, we get to a point, hopefully, where we can embrace 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we see this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, this is really important. It means that nobody should manipulate you into giving. Now, if I stand up here and I say, hey, you know, Sandhills does all this stuff. I want you to invest in this and give generously. And you sit there and you say, you know, I do want to give generously to that because Sandhills does that and I want to be a part of that. And as I sponsor the church, I realize I'm sponsoring the Lord's work and I'm going to write a check. You know, that's great. But if you're sitting out there going, oh, yeah, we should, you know, we should, we don't, we don't. And then that's like a guilt offering at that point. You're just writing a check to your conscience at that point and putting it in there. So don't do that. We want able offerings, right? The able offering where you sit back and you think about it. And you say, you know, if we write this check, it's going to cost us. But, you know, we know who butters our bread. So let's write this check. And we, being good stewards, having a good budget, know that we can afford this, move some things around. That's what we want to do. So let's talk now about this idea of investment, When it comes to investment, we want to make sure that we are resourcing God's work. In fact, that's how God set that up, right? Like this idea that when we give to the church, we give to missions, we give to God set that up. That's not something we invented. That's not a man invention. God actually put all that up so that we can have a personal investment in that. Now, Sandhills Community Church, we say that our purpose is to lead people to live Christ-centered lives. And I would hope that you would understand literally we're involved in that. Sandhills has some cool stuff going on. Like, for instance, I did a baptism class last week where we invited everybody that wanted to be baptized to come to that class. Do you know we had 23 people show up to that class? 23 people. Praise the Lord. Okay, now I have to tell you a story, and I don't know if the guy and his son are in here this morning. So if you are, this is a celebration story. I certainly don't want you to feel embarrassed. So we're there, and part of the class is I'm teaching people to do their testimonies. And so we're talking about what God's done in your life, where you've been, what happened, where you're going, and this is part of sharing your testimony before you're baptized. And I think it's really important. And so I give out instructions, and then I tell people, I'm going to give you like, and I forget how long it was, I give you 10 minutes now to work on that, and then we're going to come back. I'm going to check in with you, and we'll get some parameters for where we're going. You can't write the whole thing, but let's at least get started. And then after I do that, everybody starts working, and then this man and his son, he raises his hand. He says, hey, can I talk to you for a second? I said, yeah, what's going on? He said, we don't have a testimony. I was like, everybody's got a testimony. The testimony is, you know, how your life was before Jesus, then what happened when you gave your life to Jesus, and how it is now. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, actually, we haven't yet given our lives to Jesus, but we would like to. Can you help us with that? Can I help you with that? Like, that's what I do. Like, I live for that, obviously. And so I was like, the rest of y'all class, forget y'all. I'm going with these people over here. And I literally just took those people and we walked out of the room. And we sat right back there in the corner of the church and we talked about the gospel and what it involves. And like, would you like to give, knowing all this, would you like to give your life to Jesus? And they're like, yes, we would. And they both prayed. And I mean, for real prayed. You know, when you hear people for real praying back there. And two people gave their lives to Jesus just last week. So that was just totally awesome. So I praise the Lord for that. So that's the kind of stuff at Sandhills we're involved in. I mean, not just that. We're involved in mission work all around the world with all sorts of missionaries and ourselves going to missions. We help the working poor in Colombia. We help people in the Dominican Republic to encounter Christ, to get clean water, to get jobs. I think we reflect in our congregation God's heart for a multi-ethnic, multicultural church, even here in Colombia. And not only do we invite people to give generously to the Lord, like we challenge you to give generously to the Lord, our church models that. We give away around 13% of everything that comes in. That is, this year we'll probably give away over $200,000 as a church to missions and church planting all around the world. Like, so we're really modeling this. Amen. So when I tell you, when you give generously to Sandhills, you're giving generously to the Lord's work, and you're demonstrating worshiping the Lord with your resources, demonstrating good stewardship, and investing in his work around the world, I really believe that when you give generously to Sandhills, you're doing all these things, and that's why I encourage you to give generously to your local church. Okay, so hold on to that thought for a second. Okay, now as we're processing that, let's say, okay, I'm getting my life in line, I'm going to get on a budget, I'm going to work all this out, we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. One of the questions you may ask at some point is there anything wrong with having a bigger suitcase? Is there anything wrong with having more money? What do you think? Is there anything wrong with having more money? No, get as much as you can. You know, if I can encourage you, go for it. Get as much legally and ethically and morally, right? But get as much as you can, right? So we want to do that, and we just want to make sure everything fits together when we do that. So there's nothing wrong with having more money. In fact, I've been asked this before, and people ask me over the years about buying things, and so. I remember at one point I was talking to somebody. They said, "Hey, listen, I want to buy this really nice thing, but I don't know if I should." And so, I thought that was really nice that they would involve their pastor in that. And I've had a version of that conversation with several. And I said, "Well, just tell me a little bit about what you're thinking." They shared with me this item they wanted to buy. And then as we began to process that, I just said, "Can I ask you some questions?" And so I asked some very penetrating questions about how they were handling their money. You know, do you give to this? Do you give to that? Where are you this? Do you manage your money? Are you living within your means? You know, all this kind of stuff. Do you give generously to the Lord? And in all that, they were like, "Yeah. I do all that." And I said, okay, well, then buy it. Go buy this thing that you want. Because here's the thing. If we're not careful, this is something we do. We begin to attach moral value to things that are amoral. Here's the thing. If I go out this week and I buy a brand new Toyota, and you come to church next week and you see me in this thing, very few people are going to have a problem with that. I mean, you're like, oh, good for you, Pastor, got a new car. What if I buy a Porsche this weekend? You're going to be like, do we do audits at this church? because if we're not careful, right? So, but here's the thing. Things are amoral, right? They're amoral. What is Jesus concerned about? It's right here. Now, could I have a good heart and buy a Porsche? Yes, I could. But the idea is that it's not about that. It's about the heart. And I don't have a Porsche. I just dream about it. You should give your pastor one. All right. So there's nothing wrong with that. Things are immoral. But the thing I really want to answer for myself, this is the question I want to ask for myself, am I honoring the Lord with my resources? That's what it really comes down to. Am I honoring the Lord in the way that I live in every way, including how I handle my resources? And in this, I want to give a warning. Here's your warning. Keep your eyes on your own suitcase. Keep your eyes on your own suitcase. Because here's what happens. Because when you see other people with bigger suitcases, you struggle with all sorts of stuff. Or if you see people with smaller suitcases, you also struggle, but in a different way. But here's the kind of things we back into. Envy and jealousy. First of all, if somebody's got a bigger suitcase, well, you know, if I had their money, I would be living within a budget. And if I had their money, and then this is almost like you're looking down on somebody that has more than you, right? Because you want to bring them down a bit, you know? Like, I bet you're not honoring the Lord. Okay, stop. Yeah, if we have a hard enough trouble managing our own lives, let's not presume we could manage someone else's, right? Like, I can barely keep my thing together. So let me just, I'll let you have your suitcase. You figure that out. I'm not going to worry about you. But here's another one. It's condemnation. And this condemnation goes both ways. I've seen people with little money condemn the rich. The people with rich condemn the poor. So here's how this tends to work. You know, if you don't have much, you look at the other person, you're like, I bet that they, you know, and you're bringing them down. You know, I bet they haven't honored the Lord, and I bet they're, I don't know how they got all that money, and I hope it's all legal, you know, like whatever. Or it's the other way. You know, if they just work harder, or if they had gotten an education, or if they'd be like, okay, stop. See, that's a kind of judgment that's actually sinful and doesn't belong in the church, right? That's something God's people shouldn't do. So keep your eyes on your own suitcase. Don't back into envy, jealousy, and condemnation. Those are deceptions of Satan that he wants to get us into. So here's what we need to do. We need to learn to manage a Christian budget. Manage a Christian budget. That's where we need to end up. All right, so let me ask this. Who here would say, I have set up a budget? We literally set up a budget. Who set up a budget? Okay. Now keep your hand in the air if you're honoring your budget. Put your hand down if you're not. All right, remember, you're in Jesus' house. Right, so I'm just kidding. You put your hands down. All right, so here's what we've got to do then. All of us, and most of us did not have our hands up. All of us need to get on a budget. And don't be like me. Oh, we don't have any money, so we don't need a budget. No, if you don't have any money, you need a budget, right? You need a budget so you can have some money. All right, so here's what I would say. To set up a budget, it's really easy. I say it's easy. Well, first of all, let me give you a resource. I would recommend you go to this. This is a great website that has some good stuff on it. Dave Ramsey is a guy that does a lot of this stuff. Not Dave Ramsey. He's actually a member of our congregation. Dave Ramsey, it's funny because people know Dave. So Dave Ramsey is a great place to go, and you can find out information about how to set up a budget. What you can do is you can either click on Learn to Budget, but that won't necessarily tell you how to. But if you go under Get Started on his website, which is one of the top tabs, under Get Started, there's a pull-down tab that talks about setting up a budget. And you can go there and you can find real practical stuff. I mean, really, the idea is this. It's not that hard. You lay out all of the income that you're going to have over the course of a year, and then you lay out all the expenses you think you're going to have over the course of the year. So back in my story, when we were challenged, that we weren't living on a budget, that we were living beyond our means, and we went to set up our budget, we had to think about all the surprise stuff. So we put down all the expenses we expected, but we actually left a little gap room in there because we realized there are probably going to things pop up that we forgot about. And so as we were trying to manage our income and expenses, we had to really narrow things back. And one of the biggest principles we had to learn was you keep your eyes not on your bank account, but on your budget. And because if your bank account's deceptive, your budget's real. And so that's where we went back, and it didn't matter how much was sitting in the bank account, because you look over there and go, oh, we have enough money to... No, you don't. Look at your budget. If your budget tells you you don't have enough money to do that thing because you have these other bills that are coming. So once you set up your expenses and your income, you can kind of think through these things. But then as you're doing this, can I just encourage this? Prioritize the Lord. Prioritize the Lord in the handling of your resources, those things that we talked about, where I'm reflecting worship, stewardship, and investment. That's what I want to make sure that I'm showing. And here's the thing. If I let another Christian brother or sister see my checkbook or my online banking account or how I handle my stuff, would they say, I can tell you love the Lord? Right? If the Lord showed up right now to talk to us about how we're handling our resources, would he say, I have regard for your offerings? So those are the questions that we want to answer. And that's not a question you can answer for somebody else. That's why we got to be careful not to judge other people. This is a question we can only answer for us, between us and the Lord. Now, one of the things you can get to is regular generous giving when you manage your budget well. And so that's a point where hopefully Michelle and I are at now. And I have noticed this, by the way, that when you begin to get on a budget, as the years go by, and I know it seems like forever if you're just getting on a budget, but as the years go by, if you've budgeted well, you do tend to end up with more, right? And then once you've learned to budget, you tend to continue to end up with more because then you realize, I can't blow it all now that I've ended up with more. I have to continue to manage it well. And then you can give special stuff and special offerings, and you can buy that nice thing that you've been wanting to buy, but you want to prioritize the Lord. But we also got to the point where we could do that in our giving. And so Sand Hills Community Church has a giving app that you can give through the website or set up on your mobile device, and you can just set up recurring giving. Well, when you live on a budget, you can do that. You can set up recurring giving because you know how much you want to give. And if you're trying to live off this first fruits, I know when I first get my paycheck, this comes off and that goes to Jesus. And so I put that on there. I recommend that as a way to kind of manage your resources once you're into regular giving. And then finally, I would say this. embrace the scissors for the sake of the socks. All right, so this ties in a little bit to what I was talking about last week. But so the socks are all the little things in our life that that we tend to add. So if my budget currently looks like this, I need a big old fat pair of scissors, right? I do. And I've got to come through and I've got to trim this thing off. But probably what's better is I'm going to take this all back to to the drawing board. And I'm just going to start fresh again because I want to get back to a place where this represents my food, clothing, my housing, and it fits in there really nice. And then when I'm putting these things in there, I'm back to the car I should be buying, the vacation we should be taking, the things we should be buying, you know, all those kinds of things. And we get away from therapeutic shopping, right? Therapy. Anybody do shop therapy? You know, you've had a really bad day, it's time to buy something. Yeah, so I've noticed that's not just a woman thing, by the way. It's not the woman who says, well, I had to buy these shoes because I just had such a crappy day, right? You know, like, that's not why you buy shoes, right? You buy shoes because you need to get somewhere, right? Okay, let me be careful. My wife's not here, so that would be rebuked. But anyway, and it is true, I do want her to look good. So that's, yeah, she can buy shoes. Okay, but when it comes to, guys do the same thing. You know, I've had a bad day, I'm going on Amazon.com, I'm going to buy that thing. I had a bad day, I'm heading to Best Buy, I'm going to buy that TV. You know, like, okay, stop, just stop. We got to be careful. Budget means you live within your means. Embrace the scissors for the sake of the socks. If you'd like to have a couple more things, if I get my budget like this, then it does get to a point where, like, you know what? I've always wanted a motorcycle. And because we've managed our money well, I'm going to get that motorcycle, you know, if my wife will let me. And I'm going to do that. Okay, forget that one. But I'm going to get something. I'm going to get something. And I'm going to put that in there because I have the resources to do that. And here's what I want you to have the resources. I want you to have the resources to be able to honor the Lord and honor the Lord well. And that's what I really want. Let me pray for us. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you. Thank you for what we've talked about this morning. And Lord, I know it is true. You care about our heart. You care about how we handle our stuff. And it's not just our money. In fact, you care about how we handle every part of our life. But this morning, we're pausing just to be reminded that money reflects the heart. And so, Father, I would pray this, that we would get to a point where when people look at Sand Hills Community Church, the people that go here, they would say, these are a generous people. Not just giving generously to the church, but giving generously to other causes, helping people around them that are in need, willingly sacrificing their stuff to make sure others are taken care of. Lord, that's what we want to see in our community. And Lord, we want to get to a point where when you look at all of us, you have regard for our offerings. We thank you in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Sand Hills Community Church. Feel free to share this with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information, please visit our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.